Today's Shir Masechta, Erev and Daf Nun Hey. We will begin on Daf Nun Dalam and Beis, four lines from the bottom. Amrav Chizda, Ain Tyra Niknes. The Tyra is not acquired. A person can't grow in Tyra. Ella B'simonim. He has to make simonim. He has to make study aids how to succeed in his learning. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Sima B'piyim. The Tyra should be put into our mouth. Al Tikri Sima. Ella simona, make simonim to help you succeed in your learning. Says the Gemara, Shamra tachlifim amrava. Tachlifim from amrava heard this maim chazal. Also amrei kamrei de Rabavua. So he went and he repeated it to Rabavua. Amma, so Rabavua told him, Atam ahasamas nisula, you learned this from that pasuk. Anam ahachamas nisulam. But we learned it from the following pasuk. The pasuk says, Yirmiyahu says, "Hetzivul chat tziyunim similoch. Asu tziyunim l'tayra makes tziyunim makes simonim to help you be able to remember the Torah." Ask the Gemara, "My mashma the height tziyun lishta the simonahu." And from where do we know that this word tziyun is to be interpreted as simonim? The ksiv, as the pasuk says in Cheskov, "Ra etzem adam." If you see the bone of a human being, and there's therefore a question of that bone. Obviously giving off tumah, says the pasuk govana latzia and make a simon, make a marker to know that you should stay away from it, that it's tumay. Rabbi Leza Omer mihacha. This is the source how we know that you should make simonim for the Torah. The pasuk says emol lechachma achoysiat umoyde labidim tikru asima doim leTorah. Make different markers for the Torah. Rava Omer. Rava says a different way of understanding the pasuk. I say ma'adim l'tayra. That what we're supposed to say to understand the pasuk, as Rashi says, make a special time that the Torah, that the Talmidim, that the students should know this is the time that they have to come to the shir. So the Mertzchais asks the question that this halacha, that we have to make a time to know when to come learn, is not limited to Talmidim. Everybody has to have a kvias itim l'toira. Everybody has to have a time when they're supposed to learn. So why is it only for the Talmidim? So he says that the Yushalmi says, Eis lasus l'ashem afer teresecha, sha'oise terasi idim. If somebody only learns at specific times, hareza mei fabris. That's inappropriate. In other words, if somebody learns and he says, well, I have to learn every day, so I'm going to learn this and this time, and afterwards, I'm no longer obligated to learn. That's made for bris. So therefore, Rashi is saying that a person, the Talmidim have to know what is the schedule for learning. But the Magid Shid, we have to learn all the time. So I asked the Sefer Yayam, as we just mentioned, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph says that one of the questions that were asked when we come to the Olam Hamas is Kovati Itim L'Tayra. Did you identify special times to learn? So why all of a sudden here are we saying that that's not the right way? So he explains the person who works and has other obligations. So such a person has to. Yes, no, there's a specific time every day he learns, no matter what. Other people who have the time to learn all the day should learn all the time. Says the Gemara, the Pasuk says the Loi B'Shemayim Hi, V'Loi Me'Evi L'Yom Hi, Loi B'Shemayim Hi, Shem B'Shemayim at the Tzorach Lalos Achreel. Would a Torah in Shemayim, you would have to go up to the Shemayim to get it. V'loy, the pasuk says that it's loy me'eva ayam. What do I mean? That means v'im me'eva layam, because if it were all the way on the other side of the world, at the tzarach la'avachra. So the Shem Shmuel asked obvious question: how could the Gemara say that it would be our obligation to go to the other side of the world to get the Torah? It's just physically impossible. So he says a very powerful vart. He says that anyone who learns Torah is really a shliach of Hashem. It is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gave us the obligation to learn Torah. And whenever, especially somebody is doing a shlichus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the ability to fulfill his shlichus properly. So he says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu expected us to learn Torah in such a way that we would have to go to the other side of the world or up to the sky to learn the Torah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give us the wherewithal to accomplish that. But the Gemara is saying that that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expecting of us. So says the Gemara further, Rav Amma, Lo b'shemayim hi, Lo timtzum misha magbiya da'at alea, you will not find a Torah by somebody who's arrogant, k'shemayim, he thinks he's all the way up in heaven, Lo timtzum misha marchid da'at alea, and you won't find it by somebody who thinks he's very special. So Marsha explains what's the difference between magbiya da'atoi and marchiv da'atoi. A magbiya da'atoi thinks he doesn't have to hear a shir from a Rebbe. A marchiv da'atoi is somebody who is ready to listen to a shir, but thinks that he doesn't have to review. We spoke about this in the previous shir. He doesn't have to review. And both of those people are not the ones who are going to succeed in their learning. So here we see that one has to be very quiet and careful about his learning. So I saw that the Sefer Chashuke Chemed has a long discussion here. What is the better way of learning? Is the better way of learning or doing any mitzvah in a public way or do it in a private way? And he quotes a Rambam in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Talmud Torah Halacha Yud Beis, who says, Amacham bris kosel. Bris kosel, there's a rule. Shekol ha-yoga b'talmudo b'tzina. Whoever learns Torah privately, machkim, will become a Talmud Chacham. Shneim v'atzinuim chachma. And so too, the Gemara says, in Masech the Sukkah, daf mem tes amud beis, chamukeich yirichayich, and says the Gemara Lom Nimshet Dera Torah Ki Yerach. Why is the Dera Torah like a thigh? Lom Malach Ma Yerach B'Seisa. The thigh is a part of the body that's not typically revealed. Af Dera Torah B'Seisa. So too should Torah be learned in a non-revealed fashion. And the Gemara says Hainu Damer Belozem Ma'idik Siv Hag Hig Apostle Kamicha Higad Lecha Adam Ma Toiv O Ma Hashem Dorish Mimcha. So we see that the Torah is very, the Pasuk teaches us that we have to be very circumspect in our learning. On the other hand, there's a very famous Rashba in the Shas HaTshuvas Rashba, Simen Tuf Kef Pei Dalet. Roy Lefarsem Oysa Tztaka. It's appropriate to publicize people who give tztaka. And we have a question. Is it appropriate to keep it quiet or is it appropriate to publicize it? So the Divrei Malkiel in the Hagdama to the Tshuvas gives a very interesting approach. He says, certainly the proper way of doing a mitzvah, whether it's learning Torah, whether it's doing tzedakah, certainly, is to do it in the most private, quiet fashion. However, if somebody's doing these mitzvahs so that other people should learn from him, that his family should learn from him, then he should do it in a way that's public, that it should serve as a guide and a lesson for those who are his family on what's the right thing to do. Rav Yochanan Amar, Lo b'shemayim hi, Lo timtzu begase ruach. Torah is not found by people who are arrogant. Not by people who travel to do business. People who stay home to do business. People are supposed to spend their time learning Torah. So I saw a beautiful vort from Rav Dushinsky. It says in Pirkei Avos, Parakei Mishnah Yud Gimel, Ha'im Shali Shalach, Shalcha Shali, Zehu Midas Derech Eretz. Somebody says, mine is yours and yours is mine. That's Midas Amma Oretz. So the question is, he's not Amma Oretz. It's foolishness Mine is yours, yours is mine is mine, and yours is yours. So he explains that the pasuk is that the Mishnah is referring to an individual who is not able to learn. But he tells the Talmud Chacham, I will support you that you should be able to learn. And we'll divide the schus of Talmud Torah. So halach is that indeed he will have a share. Shali, that means what I have, my money, shalcha, I'll give you that you should be able to learn. V'shalcha, and your Torah, shali, I'll get a scharin. So says the Tana, a wonderful deal. And it's a great way of sharing the schus haTorah. But you're going to remain amoritz. But if you spend your life that way, where you never learning yourself, like our Gemara says, somebody who doesn't spend his life ever learning Torah, then he will not be able ever to become a Talmud Chacham. And that's why the Mishnah says, amoritz, he will remain an amoritz. I saw another pshat that even though the Gemara, there's a fundamental machloikus here. He says the Gemara, the Reb Chaim Alfandri says this pshat in his Sefer Eshtos. The Mon Gemara says that the proper way to have a Talmud Chacham is supposed to have a shmini shebishminis. He's supposed to have a small share of gaiva. Others say that Talmud Chacham is not allowed to have any share of gaiva. And that's the machloikus here, that he's saying that Talmud Chacham is supposed to be a person that doesn't have any arrogance in him. We learned in the Mishnah, Tana Rabbanan, Ketzim Ma'abnus Aron. How do we look at a city that we extend the city that it should be that to measure the tchum? So he said in the Mishnah, Arucha Kamashihi. If it's a long city, if it's like a rectangle, then we leave it the way it is. A gula, if it's a city that is in a round, they make for it corners, as we spoke. First you make the city into a square, and then you begin measuring the 2,000 amas. Rabas, if it's a square city, we don't make any corners to it. And the Gemara is going to explain soon, of course we don't. If it's narrow on one side and wide on another side, there's a diagram of that in Rashi. We square it, we make everything with straight line. If one house is jutting out, or there are two houses jutting out, we pull an imaginary string along where that one or two things are jutting out. And from there and further, that's how we measure the 2,000 amma. If the city looks like a rainbow, like a semicircle, a gam is a Greek letter that looks like a Chaf and the Chaf Sofi. The Gemara will explain this extensively. We fill up the entire open area as if there are houses there. And from there further, we measure Alpayim Amma, 2,000 Amma. Amamar, Arucha Kimashihi. If it's a long city, we leave it with straight lines. The borders are straight lines. Then we leave it the way it is. Ask the Gemara Pshita. Of course, what's the question? Answers the Gemara. The Gemara is speaking about a situation where it's a rectangle. So we were thought that when we have a rectangle, we should form it into a square. And only after we form it into a square, that's when we start measuring the tchum, kamash malon. That as long as they are straight lines, we measure 2,000 amas from the straight lines. Murbas, if it's a square, then there's no reason to make corners around it. Ask the Gemara Pshita. Of course, if there's If it's a square already, there's no reason to make corners. Answers the Gemara. Like Tzricha, the Gemara is referring to a situation, the Brice is referring to a situation, the Merabah, that the city is in the form of a square. However, V'lai Merabah B'Rebuah Olam. The square is not the square like a world. In other words, you'll have four straight lines, but the four straight lines will look like a diamond, not like a square. Ma'at Tema. So we would think L'Rabba B'Ribu Olam, that what we first need to do is square it in the same direction that the world goes, north, south, etc. Kamash Malon, that as long as it has straight lines, then there's no adjusting. We learned further. If one house is joining out, or two houses are jutting out, the halacha is we measure from the houses that are jutting out. Ask the Gemara the obvious question. If one house is jutting out, Amrit, we start counting the 2,000 Amma only after that house, Shnei Batim. So if there are two houses jutting out, certainly we should treat it that way. And since tomorrow, Loi Tzricha, the Bryce is teaching us, Shtei Ruchas, that it's jutting out from two different sides of the city. In other words, one house is jutting out on the north side, and one house is jutting out on the south side. Ma'at Tema, we would have thought Miruach Achas Amrinan. We only allow for this extension from one border of the city. However, Mishtei Ruches, from two borders of the city, Loy Amrinan, we would not allow that to happen. Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush, that even by two sides, we could allow for this to happen. Two different sides of the city. Now the Gemara begins discussing when the city is shaped like a semicircle. So says the Gemara, we learned in the Braisa, if the city looks like a bow or like a semicircle, a rainbow, a kumingam, like I explained, the chof, Rayna Sakiluhi Malaya Bottom Vachatzeris, we fill it up. And only after it's filled up, that's when we start counting the Alpayim Amma. So if we look in the diagrams in Rashi here, we have a Keshes. So before the Gemara goes into the details, we fill up the entire middle area, and then we start counting. And the same under it, Rashi has a Gam. And we fill up the entire area as well, and then we start counting. Amarav, Huna. So now the Gemara begins to qualify under which circumstances we say this halacha, and under which circumstances we do not say this halacha. Amrav Huna, ir hasuya kekeshes, if we have a city that looks like the semicircle, im yesh ben shnei rosheha, if between the two ends of the semicircle, as we see in Rashi, im yesh ben shnei rosheha, pox mabos amma, there are less than 4,000 amma between these two sides, then, as we just said, we fill up that entire area. The yes is the line that would be the straight line, the bow, the string on an arrow. Vimlav. But if there is more than 4,000 amma between the two sides, then we start counting from the keshes. So we start counting from the various homes along this semicircle. That's how Rashi learns. Taisus, however, this is on Ahmed Bey's Devarei Maskil V'Im, says that we don't start counting all the way up from the bow, from the semicircle. We move our way up to between these two sides till we get to an area where there's less than 4,000 amas between the sides. And then, once we have less than 4,000 amas between the two sides, then less than 4,000 amas between the two sides, that's when we start counting. And says the Rashba that this halacha that we just said regarding the city that's formed like a semicircle, the same halacha would apply by a city that's formed like a gam. We draw a line from the two corners. If that line is less than 4,000 amos, then we fill up the entire area. If there's more than 4,000 amos, then we can't fill up that entire area. And then we have a machlokes again, Rashi and Rashba, Rashi and Tosfos, I mean. According to Rashi, we count from the city. According to the Rashba, to the Tosfos, we go back to where there's less than 4,000 amos line, and that's when we begin to starting to count. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rav Huna Hachi, is this indeed what Rav Huna said? If you have a breach in the wall of the city, that's larger than 141 amos and a third, the halacha is that it's considered separate. So we see that as long as there's more than 141 amos between the two sides, it's already considered separate. Here we're saying that it's 4,000 amma. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Baravula, Loikasha. Can be irachas. If it's only on one side, like the semicircle, the breach doesn't go all the way through. So there we give you 4,000 ammas. Kamishte ruchas. The reason of 141 ammas is because each city, as we're going to be learning, gets the size of a karfif. And as we've been learning earlier in Amasechta, the size of a karfif is 70 amos and two-thirds, and that together is 141. So we see here that the shear is much smaller. So the Gemara says it makes a difference if it's breached all the way through or not. Or my Kamashman says the Gemara, and what's Rav Huna teaching us? That when you have a breach all the way through, the nice and karfif lazu, the karfif lazu. We give each side the shear of a karfif. Ask the Gemara, Ha'amar Rav Huna chadazimna. This is a din that Rav Huna already taught us. The Tanan, we're going to learn a Mishnah, Mitzvashem, on daf nun zayin amin aleph, noisnin karfif lir. When we come to measure the tchum of a city, first we leave 70 amos and two-thirds, and then we'll be then measuring the 2,000 amos. Divrei Rameyer. That's Rameyer's opinion. Chamayimrim, le'amru karfif, the halach of karfif, was only said be'shtei yoros. It's not that every individual city gets a karfif. Vitmar, and when we learned this Mishnah, we learned, Rafun Amma, karfif lezu, karfif lezu. If you have two cities next to each other, each city gets its own karfif. Chibarav says, "Einos al karfif echel shteim." We get one karfif per city. So we already learned that Rav Huna taught us, according to the Chachamim, each city gets its own karfif. So why does he have to teach us this halacha over here when the city wall was breached? Says the Gemara Tzricha. If we would have only had Rav Huna's din said here when the walls of the city were breached, because Nishum Dahavalei said had to be Korah. Originally, you had a wall which encompassed, enclosed the entire city. And therefore, I could be lenient, and if the breach is not more than 141 amos, it's still considered one city. Aval Hosam, where you had two separate cities, Emeloi, maybe they can never be connected. If he would have said a day by two different cities, we want to give every city a little room on the outside of the city. And since we want to give every city a little room on the outside of the city, that's why Rav Huna said we give every city the shear of a karfif. Aval hacha, but when we're talking about a city whose wall was breached, that there is no issue that we want to give every city a little extension. Emeloi, he didn't say that alocha. That's why tzricha, that had to be said that alocha in that case as well. Because, as Rashi explains, they were always working here. This was the way the city was built. And maybe we shouldn't therefore say this kula. That's why the Gemara had to tell us that we say this coolly even on these circumstances as well. Says the Gemara further, going back to to that semicircle that we have been discussing. Ask the Gemara, v'kama hava ben yesel keshes, how much room may we have between the semicircle and the area where we want to draw the line between the two sides of the city? Rabba barav hunama apayim ama. If there's 2,000 ama from the city to the line, from the inside of the semicircle to the line, then we could combine it. We're not limited to 2,000 amas. So Tosfos on Amud Aleph, Divrei Maskil Pachas, explains this machlokes. He says, Rabbi Barav Huna says that it has to be 2,000 amas or less, because he says that we always have to have the tchum be muvla, be overlap. And therefore, you could have to have 4,000 amas between the two sides and 2,000 amas from the semicircle to the straight line. So we should always have within the tchum. Whereas Rav Abreid Rav Chava says, as long as the two sides overlap, the fact that the outside to the houses to that imaginary string don't have 2,000 amas doesn't bother me. Amar Abaya, says the Gemara, Kavosa de Rav Rav Abrei Rav Huna Mestabra. Rav Rav Huna's opinion is the more sensible one. That even if there's more than 2,000 amas, it shouldn't bother me. Because the Bayi, a person always has the option, Hada Asi Derech Batim. If somebody wanted to walk out of the city, the entire area where there are homes, he could have walked around that entire semicircle because they're all one continuous row of houses. And therefore, the fact that there is or isn't extra room between this area shouldn't bother me. So ask the Meiri that if that's a Sfara that the Gemara is giving, so then why does everybody agree that between the two sides of the keshes, that's to be at least 4,000 amma? You could still have the same svara, that they could walk along that entire perimeter. So the Rashba answers that the way to understand the Gemara is the Gemara saying is following. It's not just because they could walk along the entire perimeter of the houses, that's why we can be lenient. It's really a combination. He explains, because as we're learning, there's only 4,000 amas. There's less than 4,000 amma between the two sides of the keshes, coupled with the fact that you have the ability to walk the entire perimeter of those houses. That's why we're okay lenient. But just to rely on the svara that you can walk through the perimeter of the houses is not enough of a svara. We learned in the Mishnah, on Nun Beis on the Beis, Hayisham Gidgadiyus Gavayis Asar Tfachim, if there are houses or towers that are Sarat Fachim tall, that extends the city. Ask the Gemara, my Gidgadiyus, so how do we understand what are Gidgadiyus? Amar of Yehuda, Shalosh Mechitzis, three walls, Shenolayim Tikra, that don't have a covering on top of them. Ibayilahem, so now ask the Gemara the following question. What's going to be the halacha if you have shtei mechitzas, two walls, v'yeshla and tikra, but they have a roof? So on one hand, there's only two walls, but on the other hand, you have the advantage that you have a tikra. So the Gemara says, Toshma, the Braisa teaches us, Elu shemes arben imay, the following structures extend the city. Nefesh, a building, Sheesh by Arba Amis al Arba Amis, a building that's four Amis by four Amis. Hagesher, a bridge, Vakever, or a grave, Sheesh by Beistira, that there's a place for the person who lives at the cemetery to watch. U Beis HaKnesses, Sheesh by Beistira, or Shul that has a Beis Dira L'chazen, where the shamish of the shul lives. And as Rashi explains, a Beis HaKnesses is not usually meant for living. So it can't be considered a structure that could extend the city. Only if this is a Beis HaKnesses, that is a place for the chazen to live, can it extend the city. So the Meiri explains when the Gemara says Beis Knesset Sheish by Beis Diril Chazin that it has a separate chotzer, it has a separate apartment where the Chazin lives. Explains the Bi'ah Locha, because there's the special apartment for where he lives, the entire Beis Knesset gets connected. But the Chazon Ish disagrees. And the Chazon Ish says that in order for the Beis Knesset to be considered a extension of the city, the Chazon has to live in the Beis Knesset, not in a separate apartment in that same courtyard. A Beis HaMedrash, however, says the Aruch HaShulchan, we could be more lenient. Because he explains, in the Beis HaMedrash people, in those days, in a Beis HaKnesses, nobody ate or slept. In a Beis HaMedrash, people ate, and therefore, a Beis HaMedrash could always be considered like a Beis Dira. Or Beis HaVodes Kachavim, continues the Bryce, if you have a Beis HaVodes Dara, Shesh Beis Dira L'Kamrim, a place where the people who work at the Beis HaVodes Dara live. And the Mishnah Berurah teaches us that there's a very big chiddush in this Gemara, that you don't have to have a Diras Yisrael. Even if it's a dira of an akum, makes it into a dira. On the other hand, the Chazon Ish explains what the Gemara is teaching us is that we would think maybe only a basic knesses, whereas we just explained a moment ago, you may not eat or you may not sleep. That's where you need a base dira. But those halachas obviously do not apply to base avodah zarah. Teaches us the Braisa that even a base avodah zarah is only going to extend the city if there's a base dira there. Vavre shalsusim, places where the horses stay or horse barn, for oitres shebesodis, different warehouses in the fields, v'yeshben base dira, if there's a place where the base where a shomer could stay over, v'aburgumnim are these huts shebetoicha that people stay there, v'abay shebeyam, a home that's on an island, hare elumas abrin imoy, all of these homes could extend the city. So again, here it says that oitzer shebesoda v'yesh ben beis dira. So the Chazon Ish has a discussion, what's going to be the halacha regarding a factory? A factory that's a place where people work, but people don't live there. So he says that a factory has a din of avrei susim v'oitzreis, and if there's no apartment in a factory, it can't serve to extend the city. What about if they eat lunch every day in that factory? He's still not ready to be makel. Burgenen are these huts that watchmen used to stay there. So says the Mishnah Berurah, when are burgenen not considered part of the city? If they're extremely temporary, they can't withstand different weather, etc. But if they're more permanent, they will extend the city. Because the Magen Avraham says that the burgenen we're speaking about were just there to people stay there and they didn't want to stay out in the sun. But if they lived there in a more permanent basis, we could be lenient. The Dagon Ravava says that the burgenen don't have to have Dalet Amos or Dalet Amos. As long as whoever stays there sleeps there, so there's no requirement that it has to be Dalet Amos or Dalet Amos. As long as they sleep there, that could be extend the city. Ve'elish emes abrinimah, continues the Braisa, what doesn't extend the city? Nefesh, shenifritzu mishteru chasa elu ve'elich, a oil on top of a kever that has two open sides, ve'gesh ve'kevesh elam beistira, or a bridge, or a kever that don't have a base dira, or base knesses aim by this dira l'chazen, where there's a base knesses that doesn't have a base dira for the chazen, or according to the Chazon Ish, even if it has a dira, but it's in a separate area, it can't be mitzdarif, or base avad chum shaim by base dira of kamarim, vivers vasus and shesodish elam base dira, or bava seal chum ara, all these different types of caves. The gather is shavuch shebetoichai, a fence that has a nest in it. V'bayish shebesvina, a home on a boat, Ein Elam Sabrin Ima, they don't get connected to the city. There's a very interesting Shaila to Rav Noach Isaac Orbam Shlita in his Sefer Miches Chayin, Orichayim Simon Chavov discusses that there's a bridge connecting Williamsburg and Manhattan. And so, of course, there's a question if that would be an issue for Tchum, because as we discussed in our earlier Sugyas, Im Yesh Tchum Lamal Mesoro, the bridge is more than 10 Tfachim high. But the question is, assuming that we machmer to be choshish, that there are Tchumim Lamal Mesoro, he says that at the entrance to that bridge, there is a little structure that is there, but there is nobody that lives there. He says that since nobody lives there, Al Gemara says that since nobody lives there, it cannot be considered something that extends the city. But what do we learn in this braisa? Nefesh and nifritza mishnei ruchusea me'elich ve'elich. If you have this structure on top of a caravan that has two walls missing, my lav, and it seems that even though the ikra tikra, so we started this Gemara with a question, what happens if you have a place that's two walls with a covering? Does that extend it or not? Here we see if it has two walls, without it doesn't extend it. Says Maraloi, it's talking about a situation, the leka tikra, where there is no covering. But it could be, if it had a covering, it would be able to extend the city, only, even if it only has two walls. Ask the Gemara, we've learned that a house that's on an island, it could be connected. Ask the Gemara, what is it there for? Amra Papa, it's referring to a home that they used to unload the objects that they carried on a boat. And even though people don't live there, says the Avnei Nezer and the Shalos Tshuvos Orachayim Simon Shin Beis, since it's a very significant structure and people, if they wanted to, could actually live there, it's mitzdarf. Ask the Gemara, Mara Amos Abrasama, we learned that a cave doesn't extend the city. Ask the Gemara of Atana Reb Chiya, Mara Amos Abrasama, that the Mara does extend the city. Answers the Gemara, Am Abai, we're speaking about a situation, Kishyesh Binyan Apiha, that there's a home attached to this Mara. Ask the Gemara, that's when the cave could extend the city. Ask the Gemara if there's a home there, but Teb Klei Mishim Binyan Gufi, say, I don't need the cave. The Binyan extends the city. Answers the Gemara, Lo Tzricha Lahashlam, that let's say that Binyan doesn't have Dalar Amos or Dalar Amos, but so it's not significant enough. But now, if you extend the city if you connect the Mara to it, you'll have the proper structure. However, I saw that Toisvus the Vermaska Loi teaches us, we have to look, what is the Arba Amis? If most of the Arba Amis come from the Mara, then it would not be able to extend the city. Only if most of the Dalar Amis is from the Binyan, but I still don't have a full Dalar Amis, so that's when I could use the Mara to get the Dalar Amis. Another pshat, however, Tosfos suggests, is that a whole different pshat in the word Lahashlam, that the Binyan itself indeed has Arba Amis al Arba Amis, and therefore the Binyan certainly could extend the city. But now, because the Mara is attached to that binyan, so the halacha is that not only do we count it from, do we extend it for that binyan, but we extend it afterward as well. Vam Rav Huna, Yoshvei Tzrifin, people who live in these very temporary huts, Eim Moedon Lahem, we counted 2,000 Amo, Elam Pesach Beseyem. We don't consider that entire area where they're living as a city, a community that is all mitzdarif. Rather, we count from the entrance of their homes. Masr Chizda, ask Rav Chizda on that. The Pasuk, in describing how it looked in the Midbar. When Klai saw in the Midbar, says, V'yachna al-yadim v'beis ha'yishimis, v'amar rabba b'bachana, L'di chazalehu asra. I saw that place. V'ava t'losa parasa t'losa parasa. It was an area of three parasa and three parasa. V'tanya. And the b'risa says, k'she nifnin. The pasuk says, v'yatil chom chutz l'machnecha. M'chutz l'machna v'yotzus ha'shem m'chutz. That you had to go outside of the machna to go to the bathroom. So the b'risa says, k'she nifnin, ain lifnin loy lifnei v'loy tzedeyim. They didn't go in the direction that they were traveling or to the sides. Elach reyim. So they traveled on Shabbos. They walked on Shabbos. An area of three parsos. An area of three parsos for the people who were furthest from the back of the encampment. Now, every parsa has four milen. A mil has 2,000 amma. So when we speak about Shalosh Parsos, we're talking about 12 milim, which are 24,000 amma. So how could we say that they could walk there unless we say that they were, that even if you're living in a midbar, in an encampment, it's still considered like you're living in a city? Omle Rava, Digle Midbar Kamrit, you're trying to ask a question from the Digle Midbar. There, the Kimedik Sibu, because the Torah in describing the Digle Midbar says, Api Hashem Yachnu, Api Hashem Yisou, so that, since everything that they were traveling is Api Hashem, and as the Miri says, that not only Api Hashem, but they could never go up, get up and travel unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them permission, so that's why it's considered Kavua. I saw a wonderful story. There was once, And the Tver Shlomo, not the Tver Shlomo, Shlomo Hanoich from Radomsk was once traveling on a train. And those days they traveled by train. And in the first class, you had a seat with a table in front of you. And he came to a city and they needed to write a letter. And the question was, could somebody sit at the chair and table where the Rebbe was sitting? So they brought a Ryan from our Gemara, that wherever a tzaddik sits, wherever a tzaddik sits, has a kvius. Because like the pasuk says, Api Hashem Yachnu, wherever we go, Api Hashem, that becomes permanent. Amar Rav Chanina bar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav Ashi, Im Yesh Shom, if in this place we will have these huts, Shalosh Chatzeris, three courtyards, then each one of them has shnei batim, two real houses, Hukfu, that makes it have the din of a city. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Yoshvei Tzrifin, people who live in these huts. V'holchem et Boris, people who travel in the desert with their families. Chayeim ein chayim, their lives is not a real great life because they're living in a place like very temporary. Nishem v'neim en shalhem, we have to be concerned about the moral behavior of their wives and what is the status of the children. Living in such a hut is like living in a grave. We have to be concerned that their wives had adulterous relationships. My tama. Why are we specifically concerned about these people? There were no bathhouses in these places, and the husbands used to travel far away. And while the husbands aren't home, we have to be concerned what the wives were doing. Because they don't have mikvahs, and the women have to go to the mikvah far away, and one woman tells the other woman that she's going to the mikvah, and therefore somebody could chase after them and do something inappropriate. My benayu, what's the nafkamina? Ik benayu nahar de samach lebesa. If there's a river nearby, so the river is good for a tefillah, so we don't have to worry that something's going to happen when they go to the mikvah, but the bathhouses aren't there, and the husbands are going to be going away from the bathhouses. Rabbi Yehuda Osa and the Shalos Tshuvos Marie Osa discusses a woman who has a store. So here we see how important it is that when a woman goes to the mikveh, it should be done in the most private manner possible. So let's say there's a woman who has a store, and every night she closes the store late. And if she has to go to the mikveh, she's going to close her store early. Everybody's going to realize she's probably closing the store early because she has to go to the mikveh. So he says, a bichidish. This is in Yerudea Simreish Yud Zayin, that she could wait to go to the mikveh to Friday night when the store is closed anyway. The Beis Sharim disagrees. He says we can't allow a tefillah on Shabbos for that reason. Rav Vozner Zatzal was makel, but he says only in a situation where it's so obvious, that's when we could be lenient. Otherwise, we can't be lenient. The Shas Chuvas Beis Sharim also discusses, we know that the day a woman goes to the mikveh, she's not supposed to eat meat. So let's say a woman is at a wedding or wherever, and if she won't eat meat, everybody will recognize that she's going to the mikveh tonight. So he says that's not a reason that we could allow her to eat meat, because that there are people that don't eat meat all the time, and we can't give a heter in all these situations so easily or quickly.